Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Reconnect with Your Divinity. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. Now, in a moment from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Diane Hall. But before I do that, I just wanted to give you a little bit of a rundown on how this call will run this evening, particularly if this is your first time on a peopleyoushouldmeet.com call. Now, we're going to be on the line for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Diane a whole series of questions on our topic. Now, I'll be asking some of my own questions as we go along, but the vast majority of the questions will be from people who have actually submitted questions to the web leading up to this call. Now, I've known Diane, we probably first met at a workshop probably just over a year ago, and we've had a friendship that's grown over that period. And in the time that I've known Diane, I have to say that she's got an incredible sensitivity and awareness for really being alive and being aligned with her personal truth. And in the work that she does as a writer and also as a spiritual coach, she has an incredible gift to offer the world. I'm very thrilled to have her on the call this evening, and yeah, hopefully we'll get to learn a little bit more about the work that she does and also her writing. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Diane. How are you doing there, Diane?
Hi, Damien. I'm doing great, thanks. Thank you for that lovely introduction. That's really nice of you. I'm so happy to be speaking to you because I love this series as well, and you've got some fantastic interviews. I feel very privileged to be here, and I'm just intending that we get into a really good space and we're able to share some of the meaning of that divine connection and add to that lovely inspirational gift that you have, really. So thank you very much for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. Now, yeah, I guess the world is sort of moving into a very interesting space, and I guess in the promo for the call, we're talking about this whole new wave, and we'll certainly be exploring that concept over the course of the call. But I was just wondering if you could just start us off, Diane, by actually share what it means to be a divine being.
Okay, well, essentially it's recognizing that we are a part of the infinite loving and creative impulse within the universe. So it's a sense of wanting to make that connection, of acknowledging that we are a part of it, as opposed to being separate from it and needing to bring it into our awareness or to connect with it, to pray to it, to ask from it. It's knowing that we embody it as a consciousness, that we all carry that divine spark within us. And the extent to which we are able to embrace our divinity as physical beings, as spiritual beings in physical embodiment, is the extent to which we are open to remembering, acknowledging, and embracing that connection and that divine spark.
Wow. And have you always been connected with this divine source so clearly? Or has there been a process about actually reconnecting with your own divinity?
Yeah, I would say I've been dragged kicking and screaming to it, really. It's been a very, very interesting process, and it's, you know, along the way there have been many challenges and changes, and there's always been this calling to embrace more of that expanded awareness of, you know, what I appear to be, who I am. And it's been a journey of gradual awakening, and in fact that feeling, that impulse to go towards that divine state or to go on a spiritual search was always there, and it's something that became covered up by trying to adapt, trying to fit in, trying to just be a part of what seemed to be normal. It always felt as if there were two layers of things going on in life. As a child, I was very sensitive, and I was always picking up the energetic qualities that were apparent, and there was a disparity between what was really going on and what people seemed to be saying and doing. And so I suppose that the impulse there was to really kind of just not see it anymore or not feel it, not be aware of it. So it just continued through my life, being incredibly sensitive and yet just trying to find ways to be comfortable within that sensitivity. And I would say that really the awakening began with the death of my father when I was 17. And that's what really sent me on a journey of actually still at that stage not looking to connect with divinity, but really kind of from a personal perspective wanting to find some answers, wanting to know that life continues and wanting to just be reassured. So, you know, it wasn't really motivated by that bigger plan, although it was a part of the grand design, I believe. So, you know, I believe that there are certain events that happen in our lives which are preordained and that are almost agreed before we come into this lifetime so that we'll learn and we'll grow, we'll be given nudges and we will, you know, seek to come into alignment with our divine plan, with a divine plan for our lives and move towards awakening and recognition or remembrance of that divinity. So that was one of the first things that triggered me into embracing that path. So, yeah, that was a very powerful one. That was really, really the beginning of the awakening. And then that sort of continued, that searching continued, and it was mainly in the form of reading. I read lots of books. I kind of found myself stumbling into a spiritualist church. I remember just sort of walking past this strange little building on the way home from school every day and kind of being curious about it, and it was as if my attention was being drawn to it. And I was sort of all over the place. I was not really focusing very much on anything. I was not studying properly. I was, you know, looking to find an inner strength. And yet my attention was being drawn to this building again and again and again. And one day I just found myself stopping outside it, making a note of the times of the services and just deciding that I was going to go there and just see what it was all about. So I started to go regularly, and the first thing that I noticed when I actually entered the church was just this feeling of calm, this feeling of rightness. And it just, it's one of those things that, again, with this feeling of connecting with our spiritual self, our expanded self, there are certain things that go beyond description. And this was sort of one of those defining moments on that journey, and there have been quite a few of them. Hopefully I'll be able to cover all of them. And I just remember that as being a really, really important moment. And it has been a part of my development and a part of my awakening, but there are many, many others as well. So I continued with that process and I continued to read. And then later on, I had an experience. I can't describe it as a vision. I have described it as a vision, but I realized it's actually more of an experience because I felt I was in it. I wasn't seeing it. I was a part of it. And I was taken by what I can only describe as angelic beings into a place, a space, which was what I would describe as divine. It was a space which I experienced as a feeling, as a texture, as sound, as color, as this feeling of infinite love and understanding and comfort. And I was just aware of many, many different things on several different levels all at once. It was like an instant download. And I was aware immediately that we were all loved and cared for, and the planet was being loved and cared for and watched over by these angelic beings. I was aware also that there was a divine plan for each and every life. And the place that I was taken to was covered in beautiful works of art. And I felt myself absorbing them almost into my consciousness and absorbing an awareness of them. And also at the same time being told somehow, having it impressed upon me that this was a place where beautiful things were stored as they waited for a channel into the world. And it was such a powerful experience that after I came out of the experience, I don't think I was ever quite the same again, because I'd experienced this direct contact with that feeling that we talk about as being divinity, but it's actually an experiential thing. It's a very difficult thing to describe. And it's something that once you have actually experienced it, there's just no way to going back to what's old and what's a part of, you know, what's not in alignment with who you are. And so your search for real truth begins. And it was incredible. And towards the end of the experience, I was also shown a kind of timeline of the path that I was on, and I was shown the way that my life was destined to end if I continued on that path. And it wasn't horrible. There wasn't any huge tragedy. The only tragedy of it was that it was almost like a wasted life. It was very sad. It was very uninspiring. And I kind of came out of that knowing that I had to make changes. So I made some very big changes and set out on this direction of, self-discovery and being open. So I prepared myself. I became ready to embrace this thing, this new possibility. I had a very strong sense in that experience that I was going to be given something, allowed to channel something, to bring something from this place that would be a way of reminding us all of the beauty of these other dimensions, the infinite love of God, if you like, and the endless creative and magical and mystical possibilities that exist within all of these dimensions within which we have consciousness. So, it's kind of hard to come back after that to the way that I was living before. And although after that, it didn't immediately become clear exactly what this new journey was going to be. And at the time, I was my dream had up until that point always been to be a singer. And the big thing was to get a record deal, get a publishing deal, you know, be on top of the pops, this whole thing. And it didn't feel very true. And the thing that was really, really interesting about it was that although I'd gone after all of this the whole time and I'd been convinced that it was what I wanted and that it was what I should be going for, whenever these opportunities came along, I'd always find a way of sabotaging them somehow. And it was mystifying to everyone around me and also quite confusing to me as well. And it was just as if on some other level that I wasn't yet ready to acknowledge, I was aware that this was not my true path. And this experience that I had put me in a place of, well, really wanting to know what was the truth then. And I continued to wrestle with this, but what I was doing actually changed slightly. So I was moving away from this very mechanized way of working. I'd worked with some really lovely people on some of my songs and sent out some great demos and this whole thing. And I was just moving away from that way of doing things, which was at the time very technical, very overproduced, and designed to go after this thing of getting, you know, being commercial and being accepted in that way. And I was looking for something that was much more authentic. And I continued to write songs thinking, oh, this is music. This thing must be music. It's going to be, you know, it's obvious that's who I am. So I continued to write and to record demos, but only with piano backing. And the nature of the songs began to change slightly, and there was a little bit more of an emphasis on questioning and spirituality. And I also discovered jazz at this time, which was very, very liberating and very exciting because it just felt much more creative and much more free. And yet when I started to be offered opportunities to progress in those areas, I was still sabotaging them. And it was just completely baffling. So I kind of continued trying to figure all of this out. And in the end, I just got so tired of struggling. I wanted to find some answers. And although this passion for spirituality had been there the whole time, it was kind of an underlying thing. It was kind of a secret thing. You know, it was my little thing that I kind of, you know, my bookshelves were stacked with books on spirituality. And at the same time, I was going for this thing, this other thing. There was this external thing. There was like this raging battle between the ego and what I thought was right and was, you know, expected of me somehow and what I felt as being right. So, and I do recognize that I've been divinely guided the whole time and that I've resisted for a very long time. So I began to meditate, and I began to meditate with a group of Buddhists. And all we would do was meet once a week for 2 hours, and we would do the same two meditations week after week. We'd alternate them, and very, very simple meditations. And what they actually did was they didn't actually show me what it was that I was supposed to be doing, but they took away everything else. It was a very gradual process in which all of the energy that I'd been exerting and putting into pushing myself forward and getting this dream to happen and, you know, being driven and driven and driven, all of that just stopped, and I just began to feel really exhausted. And it was because I'd worn myself out with all of that struggle, and I was just beginning to come home to myself. And again, when I went to the first meditation group, the first meeting, it was quite similar to that feeling that I'd had in the spiritualist church. So again, it was like a homecoming. It was a very warm feeling. It was a feeling of rightness and reconnection. And then I started to notice little bits of synchronicity. So there was, for example, one particular song that started to follow me around. I'd be driving home, and I'd turn the radio on, and I'd hear this song. I'd get back home, I'd put the radio on, that song would be there. I'd be out somewhere, and it would be playing in the lift, you know, and it was stop, look, listen to your heart, hear what it's saying, over and over again. It was just a perfect message. And, that was really where I began to embrace that, although I didn't know exactly what it was that was right for me, I knew what was no longer right for me, and I was ready and willing to accept it. And what really became apparent to me was that it was important that I make a difference. So I began to let go of the idea. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of trying to praise it, because I'm thinking, well, I want to answer some questions, and we could be here until tomorrow morning, really, because it's been such a windy road. And I have to say, you know, the idea of connecting with your divinity, when I talk about it from this current state of understanding, it could sound as if it's all very easy. It's not easy. It's something that is a blessing when you actually get there, and it is as simple as you allow it to be. And what makes it challenging is the extent to which we struggle against it. Divinity is our natural state of being.
Yeah, wow. So so many things resonated with me. I'm really resonating just with the whole, just being very sensitive, but then trying to just operate and function in the world, and just that drawing to cover up sensitivity just to deal with the everyday life. That really resonated with me. Also, when you're talking about seeing your future life, if you didn't change, I had a very, very similar experience. And through different events of my own life, that, like, I was literally, the soul would propel me through a series of events to actually move out of that place that wasn't true for me. And I really resonated with that part of your journey.
And, you know, I think it's really interesting what you just said about the soul was propelling you, because that's the other thing. It's like when we're in our more limited human state of consciousness, and we think all this stuff is happening. Why is this stuff happening to me? You know, what's going on? Why is it happening? And what we need to be more aware of is that we are, you know, these expanded beings in this embodiment, this, you know, living within this limited consciousness, and there is this higher expanded being which is constantly pulling us to know itself, to know it once again, and to be reconnected with that. So, you know, we are creating these experiences for ourselves as a wake-up call. You know, and so, that's incredible. And it's, you know, it doesn't have to be difficult. It's just the extent to which we are able to embrace that awakening when it comes. We're all called. We are all called.
I was just wondering, Diane, just perfectly leading on from that, like, the way you just described, like, the divine experience where you got to see that divine plan, and I guess I was just wondering, like, this whole concept of divinity, is it reserved for the privileged few, or are we, in fact, all divine beings?
I believe that we're all divine beings because we all come from divinity. We're all connected with divinity, and we do all carry that divine spark within us. And, it's a question of the degree to which we are able to and willing to accept that and to begin to bring that awareness into our lives and to expand that awareness so it becomes the predominant way of being. So ultimately we are all divine. We come from divinity, we return to divinity, we are a part of that which was there at the beginning and that which recognizes that there is no end, that there is no death, that the spirit is eternal, and we are love. Ultimately, to me, divinity is love, and the divine impulse is the impulse towards loving service. And I believe that we're all reawakening to that now, and that we're in a time of incredible awakening. And throughout time we've had many, many teachers who have come to show us this, to remind us that this is what we are. And it might have seemed that it's for the privileged few, but it's not. It's what we all are, and we are in a time now we are more than ever ready, or at least able, to accept and to embrace that reality, regardless of the, appearance of the way things are at the moment.
And that's certainly something that I've seen through the work that I do. Like, people all around me seem to be hearing this calling to step into their power, to step into their truth, to look for a way of being that is one of harmony and cooperation and union. And I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about your experience of this wave of evolution and enlightenment that's sweeping the planet at the moment. Is there a particular reason it's happening right now, or what were your views?
Well, there are so many thoughts and ideas about this. The main feeling about this is it's something that has been predicted for quite some time, this shift in consciousness, this returning to our divine nature while we are still in physical bodies. What differs is the interpretation of this time. So, in various cultures, there are myths which run, which are quite common, but they're just represented in different ways. One of them is the idea that we were created as divine beings, or we sprung from a place of divinity, and we lived within that divinity on earth for a time, and then at some time there was a shift and we fell into a deeper state of density. So this is kind of the current awareness that we have at the moment. It's believed that we are in that state of density, and it's also been predicted in many cultures, the Mayans, the Egyptians, many, many ancient cultures have predicted a time when we have the opportunity to return to that divine state. And I feel that this is what's happening. And it's not something that is happening to us. It's something that we are recognizing and remembering as a collective divine plan. We all have a divine plan for our individual lives, but we also have a collective divine plan. And I feel that we are currently just reawakening to that divine plan and returning back to our connection to God, if you like, to that creative essence, to that that love, that infinite love, that, as you say, that spirit of cooperation, of embracing all our gifts, of connecting with each other, of respecting each other, of respecting our environment, and just holding to that belief that our dreams of an ideal and perfect way of being, of living, of coexisting peacefully and in an enlightened state, a more enlightened state, are realistic. They are not idealistic. They are a real possibility. And I feel that that is something that we are in the process of creating as conscious creators of our own reality. And I just want to say something quickly now that we're talking about consciously creating our reality, which is it's like, just as we awaken in stages on an individual level and we get these little nudges along the way, I feel like we've been getting these nudges for a very, very long time, and going back, some of the most obvious nudges were, some of the work that was evolving out of the 60s, the 70s, and there have been loads, all of these light workers who have come to the planet, who have been awakening us all and reawakening that impulse and sending out their prayers and decrees and asking for help. So, in other words, being more conscious of this while in a physical state and from their position of free will, asking for more divine intervention, so, and also putting out their thoughts to create these possibilities. That's something that's been happening as a part of this growing consciousness. So also one of the things that's happened recently that I think has been very powerful is that we, through things like The Secret and What the Bleep's Going On and all of this awareness of ourselves as conscious creators of our own reality, we are beginning to understand that that is actually a truth. So that is something that we can actually do. And that perhaps the next stage now is to start to wonder about how we can apply that to our ideas about the world and beginning to envision this beautiful state, this perfected state, and to add our energy to that, to bring more light to that possibility, to bring more energy to that timeline where that occurs, so that we become even more a part of that shift. Because while we're actually in physical being, we have the gift of free will, and this is the planet of free will. Therefore, there is only there's only a certain degree of intervention that's possible. We have to be asking for help and for intervention and for guidance and to be bringing more of our divinity, and also to be calling on the help and the assistance of the guidance of angelic beings, ascended beings, and all others who work in the light from the highest guidance for the divine plan of the earth. So that's, just something else.
Well, it's, I love what you said just before, but it's not actually happening to us. And look, we're in a time of profound change. And quite often the temptation is to say, like, why is this happening to me? Why is all this changing?
Yeah.
But I love the idea that we're all actually co-creating, and we're collaborating with the universe around us. And that whole collaboration is guiding us to higher possibilities for not only for us as individuals, but for us collectively as human beings having this human experience.
I thought it was really powerful.
Wow. Now, one of the things we spoke about in the call promotion was the whole aspect of tapping into these psychic awarenesses or intuitive modalities. And with your very, very sensitive nature, you're incredibly connected and gifted in this domain. And I was just wondering if you could, for people who may just be beginning this path, whether you could just share the exact meanings of the words of clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and claircognizance.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Right. So first of all, to give a kind of idea of what these are, they're often described as extensions of our natural five senses. So, for example, we see clairvoyance is the ability to see that which isn't normally perceivable with the or visible with the physical eye, sorry, thinking about the third eye. And clairaudience is the ability to hear that which is beyond the normal range of physical hearing. Clairsentience is that extrasensory quality, so the feeling sense, so being able to feel energy, being able to translate that energy into meaning, so taking in that information and maybe seeing it as pictures or just knowing it, just feeling what it's about. And clear cognizance, which is just knowing, you know, that sense of just knowing, I'm guided to go this way as opposed to that way today. I feel that this is right. I know this to be right. It's a bit like the way that we receive those energy transmissions in that other state where you just suddenly know. I knew in that experience that I was guided, that I was protected, loved, that we are all guided and loved. And I don't know how I knew. It wasn't said. I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. There was a feeling quality to the experience, but I just knew it. Does that make sense?
And do we all have these abilities,
yeah,
or We all
yeah,
do.
Of course we do. We absolutely do. Because, right, so having said that about them being described as extensions of our physical senses, it might actually be more accurate to say that when we're in our expanded state, we communicate through a number of means. It's not so much language in the way that we know it. It's through feeling, it's through pictures, it's through symbols, it's telepathy, it's color, it's light, it's sound, it's all of those things, and it happens in an instant, it happens quickly, and it's just something that we know and we understand in a very different way. And when we come into physical being, it's more that we have these more limited senses, which are kind of a materialized version of those senses, which enables us to function and to go through our physical lives. And as we begin to awaken, to reawaken to our divine nature and to become one with our more expanded being, then these gifts, as a natural consequence of that, begin to reawaken, because that's who we truly are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Wow. Now, Diane, as I mentioned early on in the call, we've had questions that have come in from all around the world. This is has certainly been a hot topic for people. And
yeah.
I thought I'd just kick off with a question from Philip, and Philip's in the UK. And
okay.
Philip wanted to know, or Philip asks, even though I want to reconnect with my divine nature, I find the day-to-day things of doing a job, running house, etc., get in the way of making time or space for this. Am I misunderstanding how to do this?
No, you're not misunderstanding how to do this, because just the very fact that you're listening to a call which is entitled How to Reconnect with Your Divinity means that you are doing it. You've already begun to do it. So, you know, that's a big part of the process, the willingness. So, and also it's to remember that divinity isn't something that's separate. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of our lives. We are physical. We are divine beings having a physical experience. And so it's not so much going outside ourselves to find that experience. It's about bringing more of that experience into our physical lives. And one of the ways that we can do that is a daily practice of meditation. So that we make a regular connection. And I know a lot of people say that they don't have time for meditation, or it's just very difficult to find the time, and there are so many things going on. And, you know, I know these challenges. I know what it's like. We have to make time, because if we're not making time to do that, then the likelihood is that we are doing something else, which is, you know, less of a priority. For example, spending hours watching television or doing things that seem easier. And I know that it seems sometimes the easiest thing to do to just sort of flop in front of the TV. And, I may have completely misunderstood this. This may not be you at all, Philip, so just forgive me. And yet it's not easier, because when you actually just flop in front of the TV, what happens is that you're absorbing more and more and more of that consciousness of this current paradigm. There's a lot of negativity coming from it, and it's a question of choosing that if you really desire to embrace more of your divinity, that you make space to do that. So making that a daily priority is the first thing, even, you know, just for 20 minutes or so. And I think sometimes what we do is we think, oh gosh, meditation for 20 minutes, wow, it seems like such a long time. Wow, I should be meditating. Gosh, I must start meditating. I'm definitely going to meditate. Wow, meditation, that's what I should be doing. And so we spend all this time thinking about it, and we start to think that that's meditation. Oh, my God, meditation takes up such a lot of time, you know. Whereas in fact, you know, going into a room for 20 minutes takes a lot less time than doing that, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, that's one thing. Just to say, right, I will do this. I will do this, whatever else appears to be real. I will do this. I'll make a daily practice of doing it. And then allowing gradually for what you discover in meditation, that connection, to come more into your life, into your daily life, so that what you discover there begins to affect and to influence the way that you perceive your reality. And there are other small ways that you can do this. It's becoming more loving, because we said before, you know, divinity is love. So becoming more loving, loving what you do, doing what you love, if you feel ready to do that and able to do that. And if you can't, then finding ways of being loving within what you do, finding ways of bringing more light to what you do. noticing beauty in everything, noticing beauty in others, noticing, you know, the opportunities within the current situation, and keeping light, keeping yourself in a place of lightness, and, you know, and having some fun with finding those small opportunities throughout the day to reconnect with joy. It's not necessarily that you're having a fantastic time dealing with all of these things and juggling all of these different activities. It's just recognizing at certain points throughout the day, oh, hang on a minute, this is a small part of who I am. This is a small part of the reality of my life and my existence and my purpose on this planet right now. Just remembering to smile at someone and, you know, and just bringing another moment of reconnection into your life. Creativity is another great way of connecting to divinity. So, you know, even if you're not aware of anything in particular that you feel you can do creatively, maybe discovering something, you know, painting, drawing, singing, dancing, anything that brings you into a place of lightness and connection and takes you on a journey beyond the belief that all of these little things that we do, you know, day-to-day things, as you say, are all that there is. Okay, great. That's a fantastic question. I love these questions.
Yeah. Excellent. Now we have a question here from Mary, and Mary's in the United Kingdom, and Mary wanted to know, which is the easiest and best way to connect with your guides or angels? I know they are with me as I feel them, but I don't always know what they are trying to tell me. How do I open up to be able to hear them communicate clearly with me?
Okay, that's lovely. Oh, great. Thank you. Hello, Mary. This is I love to talk about this, so I'm going to just I'm going to spend some time explaining this. Okay, there are a number of ways to do this. I'm not putting forward anything as the right way to do this. It's a journey of discovery. We're all individual, and so, you know, what works for one person isn't necessarily going to work for someone else. I'm just going to give you some of the things that I've learned over the years and in my training as an angel teacher, and some of the things that I picked up from various other disciplines and ways of working and connecting. So the process that I learned in my angel teacher training was grounding, attuning, protecting, and invoking as a way of beginning the process. Now, again, the thing to do is to go into a meditation. And when your intention is to connect with angelic beings, these are things that are recommended that you do first before you go into that meditational space and ask to make that connection. So first of all, grounding is connecting with the earth, and just being really, really using imagery to really become aware of that connection. So it can be something like sending roots down from the soles of your feet and from your base chakra right down into the earth until they connect with a beautiful glowing light or something like that, a crystal, and you make that connection and you begin to draw that energy up into your body through your energy system until you bring it into your heart. And then the attuning part, and the reason for the grounding, let me just say quickly, is because, as we said before, we are having a physical experience, and what we're seeking to do is to not keep getting out of the body, to stay in the body and to bring more of this divine experience into the body so that it begins to sort of spread out into our lives and into the lives of everyone we come into contact with, so that we embody more light. So we keep our connection to the earth the whole time. And then the next part is to attune. So attuning is making that connection with the divine. And it's done from the opposite end. So you are imagining a beam of light coming from whatever represents the divine to you. It could be just a sense, a general sense of divine consciousness. It can be God. You know, I like to allow people the freedom to have their own words. I'm quite happy with the word God. I like God. God's, you know, cool. So, but if you can choose whatever you feel, the universe, the collective, you know, consciousness, unconsciousness, the divine, the infinite, and just bring that light down, and you are requesting that you receive light from the highest guidance possible, and you bring it down through your crown and through your energy centers again until it joins with that other light in your heart, in the center of your heart, and get a sense of it. I know some people don't think they're great at visualizing. It can be a feeling. It can be just a change of sensation in the atmosphere around you. It can be anything. Just know it. Just know that that's what you're doing. Intend that that's what you're doing. So then you've made your connection to the divine and you're connected to the earth. Protection. You can ask for the protection of the archangels. You can ask for the protection of your guardian angel. You can visualize yourself inside a bubble of light. White light, golden light. Golden light is kind of the angelic light. That's how we often sense it or picture it. So, and once you put yourself into this light, intend that it stays with you throughout the period of your meditation, because energy follows thought and intention. And sometimes we ask for this protective light, and then the light comes, and it's like, okay, the light comes, and it's all around you, and then it goes away. So we have to intend that it stays with us. And you know, it's nothing scary. It's just to make sure that you are, that everything that you do is divinely guided, and it's within the light and within the highest guidance. And invoking, and then the invoking part is simply to invoke the presence of your spiritual guides, spiritual teachers, of the divine. And we used to call this process GAPI, just so that we'd remember. So G-A-P-I, ground, attune, protect, and invoke. And once you've done that, just allow yourself to go into a meditational space and to really connect, to feel that energy in your heart, and to begin to just ask for your guardian angel to come forward. And you'll have a recording of this, so you can always play it back and just remind yourself. And then once you ask for your guardian angel to come forward into your space, just notice any sensations, any changes at all, because there's a signal, there is a physical signal for everything that happens around us energetically. So what you need to be doing is attuning yourself to being able to feel those signals and to interpret them. So you're developing a new language, a way of communicating that you'll be able to understand in the future. So if you ask for your guardian angel to come forward and you notice that, for example, you feel, you know, something brushing against your face, or a change in temperature, sort of breeze is going, you know, around the back of your neck, or you feel goose pimples, or you feel a warm feeling in your heart, or tingling, or warmth in your hands, or, you know, ringing in your ears, or, you know, almost like that change in pressure, like when you go up in an aeroplane. It can be anything. There are any number of signs. So just notice that sign, and then you'll begin to take that out into your awareness as well. When you're going about your day, you know, you'll know when your angel is coming close to you if you feel that signal. So once you're actually in that place and you've asked for that, a really nice exercise to do is to just ask, please can you give me something that will teach me something that I need to know right now. And the reason for this is quite often we go into a meditation or into a guided imagery or visualization with an expectation. We want to get something. We want answers. We want to find something, you know, all of this. And sometimes that kind of gets in the way. What we want is a very simple request which will allow something to just fall into our awareness. And if you feel more inclined to, you know, if you're very good at visualizing, if you're a very visual person, you could ask for a picture or a symbol. If you're much more in tune with the feeling sense, you could ask again for a feeling that will give you a meaning, that will transmit a meaning to you through your heart, for example. Or you could ask for a word or a sound or something that will be meaningful to you. It might be a piece of music. It could be anything. But just ask, now please give me something that will guide me and that will teach me something that I need to learn. And that's it. That can be very powerful. Just and keep it simple. If you start to hear long constructed sentences, you know, just recenter yourself. Just get back into your heart. And when you first begin to do it, just expect to get something very simple, because the way that spirit begin to communicate with us is in a very simple way, which could be just one very small thing, but which comes with a huge transmission that you immediately understand rather than hearing endless words. Does that make sense?
That's amazing. That's really, really cool. And just to retouch on the points for everyone who may be taking notes at home. Step number one is to ground. Step number two is to attune. Step number three is to protect.
Mm-hmm.
Step number four is to invoke, and then allow yourself to go into that beautiful meditative state where you're guided by your guides. And then just to allow or create a space for the thing that you need to know right now to pop into your mind or heart.
Absolutely.
Or into your being. Well,
into your being, absolutely. Yeah.
Very, very beautiful, beautiful process.
Yeah, great. It's lovely, isn't it? I mean, it's something that I do regularly, and that just is it just always brings me into that space, and that opens me up to divine guidance. And yeah, it's a nice one. It's a nice way to start.
Well,
so
now I have a question here from Tara, and quite a lot of people actually who did write questions in were curious around how really connecting with this divine part of themselves could actually help them connect with their purpose for being here. And Tara's question is, and Tara's in the UK, in returning to your own true divine nature, how can you uncover your true life path or purpose?
Yeah, okay, that's another great question. And again, I just want to go back to the example that I gave earlier. So it's, your purpose is always there. It's always there within you. And what I love about this question is the way that she describes it. It's, you know, she says, how can you uncover your true path, your true life path? And that's absolutely what it is, because it's already there underneath all of the other stuff that we accumulate throughout our lives in order to protect us or to give the ego some kind of validation or love or whatever, something it thinks it needs. It's just there waiting to be rediscovered as a consequence of making that sincere effort to connect, to reconnect. So I would say, again, meditation, continue to connect, continue to attune with what's going on in your heart, and to really, really intend that you are going to come to a place of truth and of peace and of enlightenment about what your path is, regardless of what that's going to have to mean. Because quite often we kind of have a feeling about what it could be, but we're afraid of it. We don't want to see it, you know, rather than it being something we have to discover.
That's a great answer.
If I start to talk about this, I could just go on and on and on. So I'm being careful here, because I'm sort of aware of the time. And I just want to say, because, you know, I got to this point where I was kind of aware of what wasn't right for me. And then even then, there was still an uncovering of trying to find specific ways of discovering exactly what was right. And yes, it's great to know that, but sometimes it is a question of letting go and just kind of, just being a bit more all-embracing about it and allowing it to fall into your consciousness. But one of the exercises that I actually put in my book was something that happened when I was going away, because another part of my journey was that I began to experience this reawakening of all of these gifts and this extreme sensitivity. And at the time, it was very, very hard for me to be in London, so I knew I had to get away. And I actually just gave away everything and just completely gave myself up to this journey of embracing that freedom and that lightness and falling into that space of what was true. And I decided that I was just going to take 5 books away with me. And somewhere in that process of deciding what those books were, I really discovered a lot about what was really important to me. So I've put that in the book as an exercise. So you choose 5 books from your shelf, lay them out on the floor, and I'm skimming through this really quickly. Write down the title of each book on a piece of paper, and under each title, write down about 4 or 5 words that describe what you think that book is about, words or phrases. So that you've got 5 different books with, you've got sort of 25 different words, more or less. And then you transfer all of the words, get rid of the title, just have the words in front of you on a piece of paper. and just note it so that it's exactly as you've written it down. So even if you've repeated some words, you've still got those words on this other piece of paper. So you might have the same words several times. Highlight any words that come up more than once, and just have a look at that. And that can be really, really revealing. You know, that's really amazing. And I noticed that when I did it, I had words like inspiration, channeling, inspiration, trusting, connecting, you know, kept coming up. So, you know, and looking back, I can see that that was a really important, that even while I was writing that, I was learning that at the same time. So that's the one thing that's really sprung out as a really good sort of tip to offer at this stage. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's a great process. I'm actually going to try and do that myself. I've got a bookshelf stacked with books.
I can imagine. I want to know what happens. Let me know what happens.
Don't, like, the time has just flown this evening.
Coming
very close to the hour. There's so many wonderful questions that did come in, and I could literally just go on all evening asking you all the wonderful questions that did come in. But hopefully over the course of the hour, we've certainly given people an experience of their own divine nature. And I suppose the other key thing that I was really hoping to get express and out to the world through this call is just that we're all magical beings, and we're all here with a special purpose and part to play in this thing we call life. And just through the stories that you shared and the insights that you've gathered from your journey, like, it's certainly awakened in me a greater sense of my own divinity. And I have no doubt that it's really done the same thing for people on the call, and certainly for people who listen back to this recording. And
that's great.
I know that there are going to be people on this call who will want to find out more about the work that you do, and we haven't even had a chance actually to speak about your writing at all. But,
this is a preamble, Damien.
But I've really personally enjoyed reading some of the short stories in your book, Tales from the Voice of the Heart. And I'm now also in possession of the Catching Feathers in the Wind. And, I was just wondering if you could share with people a little bit more about your writing and perhaps how divinity is expressed through your writing, and also how people can buy your books and stay in touch with you.
Yeah, sure. Okay, gosh. I'm going to have to keep this short, because if I, again, start to talk about that, It could be a long one, because that was another process. Having said that, I actually began to write, and then that divine awareness became apparent through that process. So it was more a question of, oh gosh, you know, I'm writing, and this is really interesting. And then discovering at some point that I was learning as I was writing, and that what I was writing was something that was taking me on a journey which was not inside my conscious awareness. So I wish I could spend a half an hour talking about that whole process and how it came about. But what I am going to say instead is that it's just a question of, If it's your desire to be a divine channel, a channel for divine love, do something creative, begin it, and allow the divinity to unfold within it. And that's the best that I can say at the moment.
Wow, that's beautiful. For people who wanted to actually read more about you, Diane, how would they get in contact?
Well, the address of my website, as you know, is www.dianehallsbooks.com. And it's I've also written a paper on how to get the best out of coaching, and it goes into quite a lot of detail about spiritual coaching. And if you sign up for a free copy of that, you'll be included in my mailing list, and I'll be able to let you know more about what I'm doing. I'll be sending out regular articles as well with any current insights, and you can also buy the books online. So that's it.
Great. Excellent. And the kind of clients that you're working with, like I know you're doing lots of coaching and reading these days, who have you found have actually been drawn to stepping and experiencing this work?
Well, the amazing thing, or not amazing at all, is that I'm having a lot of people coming to me who are in a place of having to make a sudden change, feeling this inner impulse to make changes in their lives that will bring them into alignment with their divine truth and with the real plan, what they feel is the real plan for their lives. So it's quite amazing that, you know, how that works out. I have people coming to me saying, I feel that I am here for a purpose. I feel that I'm a light worker. You know, they'll come right out and say, I feel that that's what I'm here to do, that I'm here to be a part of this amazing awakening, and I'm looking for a way to do that, and this no longer works in my life, and that no longer works in my life, and I'm looking for new direction, and I'm looking for support while I make these changes. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me that that mirroring is happening, because I feel that that's what I've been prepared to understand. I've been prepared to understand that process. People who are suddenly becoming very sensitive, who are suddenly having their gifts reawakened spontaneously. They haven't gone looking for it. It's just, oh, my God, I suddenly feel really sensitive, and I don't know what I'm doing, and, you know, I don't know why I'm feeling all these changes, and I don't know why I've got all these strange impulses to do things differently, or to go here or go there, or embrace this or embrace that. And, you know, it's very much that, and it's people who want to make those changes in order to live extraordinary lives that they feel called to embrace, which are filled with joy, which are filled with more truth, which allow them to be more connected with who they really are and who they really feel themselves to be. So it's very exciting.
Well, that's amazing, amazing work that you're doing in the world, Diane.
Thank you.
I've certainly thoroughly enjoyed our conversation over the last hour, and certainly looking forward to for more amazing conversations in the future. But I guess in closing, I was just wondering if you had some final words that you wanted to share with people who are on this path, or just beginning on this path, or deeply immersed in this path, what final words or advice would you give to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I just have to say, continue to intend that it's your desire to be a channel for divine love. Continue to move into that space regardless of what's happening around you, what appears to be happening, regardless of any negativity or anything that's telling you the contrary about the possibilities, the dream that we can hold, the vision that we can hold for becoming who we truly are, for reconnecting with each other, for embracing a divine future, which is our destiny, and just to hold to that space of that dream, and to keep it in your heart, to keep that as your most predominant mindset, if you like, in your most predominant consciousness, to stay in lightness, to continue to embrace joy, to embrace creativity, to switch off the TV, and enjoy your life, enjoy this amazing gift, and see it as a gift. However difficult and challenging it might seem at times, it is a gift, because what we're moving towards is something quite exceptional and quite extraordinarily beautiful, and so it is worth it. It's, you know, thank you for being here. Thank you for your presence. Namaste. You know, wonderful light workers. We are all on this incredible journey, and we are all creating it together. And I honor that, and I give thanks for that, and for being awake and aware in this amazing time. And namaste, Damien. Wow. Thank you very much for being here as well, in the way that you are.
Well, Diane, thank you so much for the past hour. It has indeed been a gift to me, and indeed a gift, I have no doubt, for everyone who's listened in. Thank you, everyone, again, for submitting your questions. They are absolutely inspiring to receive in every single week, and it really is amazing to know that this inspiration is connecting with people all around the world, and it's a real pleasure to be of service and to share these wonderful ideas with you all. Thanks, Diane, and thank you, everyone, and hopefully we'll have you on a People You Should Meet call very soon.
Thank you so much, Damien. All right, take care.
Okay, take care. Bye.
All right, good night. Bye.